Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Kufta Zayin by the two dots. Afopi Shein Charoset Mitzvah. So in the Mishnah, we have the Tanakhama's position, which is that the Charoset is on the Seder plate or on the Shulchan, despite the fact that it's not a Mitzvah. And then you have Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Tzadok, who says that it really is a Mitzvah, and that's why it's found over here. So now the Gemara discusses this issue of Charoset. It says, Vilo Mitzvah, Mishum my mighty law. It's not a mitzvah. What's it doing here? I'm a Rabbi Ami Mishum Kapo. So this is what we discussed yesterday with regards to the maror, why you dip the maror into the haroset. Said Mishum Kapo. Rashi over there says Mishum Kapo is the eres that is found inside the maror. The Rashbam quotes Rashi and then quotes the alternative, which is the Rabbeinu Hanano, which is the one that Tosfot favors, which is Tolat, is a worm. The question is, what's going on here? If they always have this eres in them, if they always have these worms in them, then why is that unique to the night of Pesach? Why aren't you doing this all the time? That ala rov, these things are not an issue. Ala rov, that eres that affects someone from the maror, it's very unusual. It's a low percentage. And the same with the tolat. Now, in terms of the tolat, it's very interesting because based on the Gemara in other places, we know that the Gemara believes with regards to worms or insects that are found inside of vegetables or fruits that there's no problem to eat them. The only time that it's a problem is a shteretz, a shoretz ala aretz. It has to leave its natural habitat. So if it grew up inside of the maror and never left the maror, there's no problem in eating such worms. So that can't be the problem here. It doesn't matter if it's alive or dead. That worm is not a problem in terms of a sheretz or sheretz al aretz. So Tosafot, others discuss the fact that possibly that the worm would damage your intestinal system. We're not worried about the worm itself inside that you're eating, but it's more the problem that once you've eaten it, it's detrimental to your health. So because of that, we dip it into the charoset to either get rid of the eris or to get rid of the worm. But ala rov, both of those issues are not a problem. So in general, people don't worry about it because it's such a low percentage. But because here Chazal demanded that you eat maror, Chazal didn't want to demand something where it would possibly put you into sakana. So because of that, they instituted along with this the charoset, so that 100% chance that there's no issue here. Darche adarche inuam, if you're performing a mitzvah, we don't want you to get into any difficulty. Amar Vasi, kafa dechaso. So this is interesting now. The Gemara here discusses what's the antidote. If you do happen to get this kafa dechaso, what is the antidote? So kafa dechaso, this, whether it's eris or this tolat of the lettuce, meaning the romaine lettuce, chamo is a radish. So kafa dechamo, and then the eris or tolat of the radish, the solution to that is karti is a leek. And the kafa de karti of the leek is chamime, is hot water. So what you have here is a slow degrading of the, whether it's the bitterness or the eris, that each one moves down, that the harifut of the item, something else can take away the original problem, this kapha problem. So that's what Gemara says is the antidote. Kafa de kulu. And then any other vegetable, chamime, hot water takes care of it. Adahochi behochi. In between or bentayim, while you're waiting for the antidote to kick in, the hot water to kick in, neimahochi. So here takes us back a little couple of daf. Here a little incantation. Kafa, kafa, dachir nelecha. Kafa, kafa, I remember you. Ulishav benateich, and your 7 daughters. Ulitamne kalateich, and your 8 daughters-in-law. So whatever the incantation does to postpone the problem until the antidote kicks in, that's what you could say. Now, we have Rabbi Eleazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer mitzvah. He says that charoset is a mitzvah. My mitzvah. Why is there a mitzvah here? What exactly is this mitzvah from charoset? Why is charoset a mitzvah on the night of Pesach? We understand why matzah is a mitzvah. We understand why maror is a mitzvah. How is charoset a mitzvah? Now, obviously, it's a mitzvah derabono, not a mitzvah deoraita. Question is, why would you institute such a mitzvah of charoset? We have different opinions here. Rabbi Levi Omer, zecher le tapuach, to remember the tapuach, to remember the apples, based on the midrash of tachara tapuach or artich, that under the apple tree, I awoke you, or you arose, which is the midrash that the Jewish women used to go out into the fields under the apple trees and give birth there in order to hide from the Mitzrim, and they had an easier birth, but they helped to increase the population of the Jews. So based on that midrash, we do zecher le tapuach. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, zecher le tit. They remember the cement that they used when they were building, putting in the bricks. Amar Abaye, yokach tzarech lekiuye. You have to make sure that it has a certain amount of pungency in it because of the apples. Bitzarach lesmuche. In addition to that, you have to make sure that it is thick because the thickness goes for the cement and the kiyuye goes for the tapuach, which is interesting. It's more of like a kiwi. It's like something associated with vinegar. So they are talking about an apple that has a certain amount of pungency to it. That should be two of those items. They should be present inside of the karkaroset. The kuye, zecher le tapuach. Tzarech le smuche, zecher le titz. Tanya kavote de Rabbi Yochanan. Have a brayta that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position that it's zecher le titz. Tavlin, zecher le tevin. They should also add in spices to it, because tavlin is zecher le tevin, for the straw that was used to break the bricks. Karoset, zecher le tit. And the charoset is for the tit, for the cement itself. Amar Rav Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, kacha yu omrim tagrei charach shebi Yerushalayim. This is what the merchants, the Rashbam quote, mitzitz min acharakim. Min acharakim is peeping through, or looking through the cracks, but they're translating it over here as something like lattice work, or some sort of window that has an opening in it. So one possibility is tagrei charach are the merchants that sit behind the windows or the lattice work. The other possibility so is that it's parched grain. So the merchants of parched grain in Yerushalayim, bo tzvulachem tavlin le mitzvah. That was their sales pitch. Their sales pitch before Pesach was when they were selling the spices, come buy your spices for the mitzvah. Well, what mitzvah is there when you do with the spices? That was to place them inside of the charoset. Now what's interesting here, Tosafot quotes from the Geonim, a different minhag, which is very interesting. So it says, if you look in Tosafot, Tzarech l'smuchay v'tzarech l'kriyei, b'shami amar, it avdei zecher l'dam. Some people do it zecher l'dam, so that's why they put in red wine, or they put in something red into it. U'mshumachi karelei tibulo b'mashkeh. Where's the mashkeh over here? He just said it has to be smuchay, it has to be thick. So didn't we say before that when you had the tibulo, the first dipping was in a liquid, and then you have another dipping here, which is a demaror. This isn't liquid at all. It says, v'chein amar davar l'smuche. Says, that's the minag ha'am, is to make it thick. U'b'shat achila mekalshin oto b'yayin v'chometz. And right before you eat it, you pour in vinegar and wine, or vinegar or wine, to make it more viscous, to make it more liquidy. And then you dip it in, and that's why it's tibulo b'mashke. ובתשובת הגאונים מפרש, עשות חרוסת מפירות שנדמק לכנסת ישראל בשיר השירים. That there is a mesorah to make the charoset out of items, fruits that are mentioned in Shir HaShirim that Bnei Israel are compared to. And it says, tachar ha-tapuach, that's the tapuach side, that's what Ashkenazim do. Kipelach ha-rimon, that would be the pomegranates, I haven't seen that with anybody. Te'ina ha-chanta, that is, I haven't seen. Amarti ele, but tamar, it goes, alginat it goes, shkedim Hashem sheshakaru kashbruch alakates. So there, the svaradim have, and I know my family's binag, they have, but they use a tamar, it goes in shkedim, they put it together, they create something called chalik, which is a svaradi charoset that uses the dates and the egozim in shkedim to make their charoset. So that was the minhag ha-go'unim as to how they made their charoset. Not like the Gemara over here, their focus is on kihuye, is the tapuach and the smuche, about the thickness. So that has thickness to it, doesn't have tapuach in it, but the same idea. Something that is thick, but has a certain texture to it, and that is used for the charoset. Then the next Tosfot says, well, you see from here, from the Gemara, that it sounds like the loch is like Rav Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok. That the fact that the Tagrim in Yerushalayim were selling this and saying, Tavlin, the mitzvah, means that they thought the locha was that it's the mitzvah, that there's a mitzvah of charoset, and they were selling it based on that. So now the question that comes up is, if that's the case, it's a mitzvah, why don't we make a brocha on it? When we have a mitzvah d'rabbanon, and generally, then we make a brocha, v'sher kidishenu mitzvah v'tzivonu, and we make the brocha, lechol charoset, ala chilat charoset. I mean, there should be some brocha here for charoset. So the Radbaz asked this question on the Rambam, in terms of charoset, the Rambam says that a charoset mitzvah midivrei sofrim, he says it straight out, that it's a mitzvah derabbanon. The Rabbaz asks, why don't we make a bracha on it? So he gives two answers to the question. First answer to the question is that bizman beit hamikdash, all the mitzvot were d'oraita except for charoset. The Pesach, Matzah, and Maror were all d'oraita, and charoset was only din derabbanon. So because of that, they didn't make a bracha on the charoset, they only made brachot on the mitzvot de'oraita. Because of that, in the time of Mikdash, they didn't make a bracha, we today still don't make a bracha on it, carrying on that tradition. Even though today we have mitzvot de'rabbanon, like maror, nevertheless, we don't make a bracha on the charoset, continuing that tradition. The other answer that he gave is that it's something that ikar and tafel. Just like in Birkat Hananin, when you have an ikar and a tafel, you only make a bracha on the ikar, not on the tafel. So too, he says, by Birkat HaMitzvot, when you have an Ikar and a Tafel, you only make a bracha on the Ikar. And since here, the Ikar here is the Maror, and the tefel is the charoset. Therefore, we only make a bracha on alechilat maror. We don't make the bracha on charoset, which is tefel to the maror. So those are the two reasons that Radbaz gives, that we do not make a bracha on a charoset. Now, the Rambam has a different view of charoset. Rambam, who says that it's mitzvah medivrei sofrim, actually writes in Yad Chazaka that not only are you supposed to dip the maror into the charoset, he says this, "Bizman hazeh, shein shem karban cher shemevarech hamotzi, lechem chozer mevarech alechilat matzah, umitabel matzah becharoset veochel." You dip the matzah into charoset and you eat it as well. It's very interesting that he says that. Everybody discusses why is it the Rambam demands that you dip it into the charoset. Some of them look at it or question it from the tzad that matzah represents chayrut and the charoset represents avdut. How can you mix them together? Achronim discussed it already by the famous Brisker Torah that matzah has both things embedded inside of it. It's both zechel avdut and zechel chayrut. It's both lechem oni, but it's also the lechem shah. Onim left very herbay, or the lechem that didn't rise when they left Mitzrayim. That's the suk that we quote when we have the matzah. So he speaks batzekam, that their batzek didn't have time to rise. So it has both aspects embedded in it. The Ravid on the spot argues on the Rambam and says, whoever heard of such a thing that you dip matzah into charoset? In the end, you have to say that the Rambam believes that charoset is part of the props of the night. I mean, that the mitzvah of charoset is this idea that the night has props to it, and it's all about engaging the children and having these props be a part of the Seder. And the charoset, which represents the tit and the avdut side of it, you have to bring it into the night. How do you bring it into the night? Not only do you have it by the maror, you also dip the matzah into it. Now, charoset, again, is a tibul. It's not something that you would eat plain. So again, it seems to be that it's a prop of the mitzvah divrei sofrim, is that it's a part of the props of the night, not necessarily that there's a mitzvah achila of charoset. That may be another reason why we don't make a bruch on it, because there's no requirement of kezayit necessarily of charoset. It's just a requirement that it's ancillary to the other mitzvot, but it's there, and we have to somehow engage it in the process. So the Rambam says, put the matzah in it, put the maror in it, do all these things so that it's a part of the night, but not that it in itself is going to eat a kezayit of the charoset. Alright, so now we move on to the next part of the Seder, the Mishnah that says, Mazgulo kosheni. They diluted for him, they poured for him the second cup. Vikan haben shoel aviv. And here, the son asks his father. Now, it's interesting that Rashbam brings an alternative here of vikan, which is rather vikain haben shoel aviv. And then he bases that on the pasuk, kain benot sovchot dovrot. Kain means that this is the proper way to be. This is the din over here. So now, not that kan here, the ben shoel, but here, the din is that the ben is shoel over here. So that's how he reads it, the alternative of reading this. Vime dat abeben, if the child is incapable or cannot do it, avivum lamdo. His father teaches him. Mani shana laila zemi kol alelot. How is tonight different than all of the nights? Shem kol alelot, anu ochlim chametz umatzah. In all the other nights, we eat chametz umatzah, laila zekul umatzah. Tonight, we eat only matzah. Shem kol alelot, anu ochlim shayirakot. We eat other vegetables, alayzeh maror. Tonight, maror, not kulo maror, because we saw before that by karpas, you eat yirakot. The question is, why is maror here at all tonight? Shechol elot anochlim basar tzli, shaluk umuvushal. We eat meat cooked in all different methods. Alayzeh kulo tzli. Tonight it's entirely roasted. From here, Tosfot proves that these mishnayot are like ben tema, who says that chagigat basar has the same din as korban ha-pesach, and they have to both be brought bitzli. Shebechol elot, here the girsa is, anu matbalim pamachat, we dip once, ala lazeh shtei pamim, here we dip twice. From the Lashona Mishnah, it sounds like that they dipped once, and then on Beit HaPesach, you dip twice, and that's the heker. The heker is that you dip twice instead of once, and we discussed this on the Shabbat daf. Which is the heker? Is it the first dipping that's the heker or the second dipping the heker? The question of whether because it's outside of the suda or because you dip the second time, which one is the heker? One of the two is the heker. Well, the feed that tosho ben aviv lamdo. According to the intellectual capacity, the age or the appropriateness for the child, the father teaches him. Matchil bignut umisayim b'shevach. You start out with things that are derogatory, things that are not necessarily the laudable parts of our history. Then you end off with the good things, with the highlights. Vidoresh. Then secondarily, so that's, you have one thing is matlil b'gnut m'sein b'shevach, then possibly, secondarily, say, deresh ma'arei avid oved avi, or is that the definition of matlil b'gnut m'sein b'shevach, is deresh ma'arei oved avi, achumar kol ha'parsha kula, which is the parshat ha'bikurim. That's how we do. We have the exegesis in the Haggadah on those psukim that are found in Sefer Dvarim for the Bikurim. And the question of why we use that parsha, it's very clear why we use that parsha. I'll discuss it when we move through it in the Gemara. So Tanur Manan, Chacham b'no shoalo. If he's wise, the child asks. Ve'enu chacham, if the child is not wise, ishto shoalto. Then his wife asks him. Ve'im lav, hu shoalo atzmo. And if not, he asks himself. Even two Talmidei Chachamim who know Hilchot HaPesach have to do it in this question and answer form. So that is one of the requirements of the night, is this question and answer form. So one of the things that Reb Chaim, in discussing the difference between Zechira, Yitziat Mitzrayim, the need to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim every day that we do in Shema, versus Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, this is one of the fundamental differences, this idea of question and answer, rather than simply mentioning. You have to do it through a format of questioning and answering. Now, the question and answering format is a methodology of teaching, and the whole idea of Misora here, even though when you have two Talmidei Chachamim, they still have to do it, it's because you want to maintain this framework. This framework is a way to teach, and the idea is the Misora to the children in the end. That's the bottom line. So we maintain that structure even when the children are not present, in order that that Misora continues, that that's the way to teach. This is the way to deal with the night. You have to engage the children, you have to have the questions, and then you have to answer those questions. This braita is slightly different than our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, it says that the ben shuel aviv, v'im ein dat baben, then aviv melamdo. That if his child doesn't have the ability to ask the question, the father teaches the child to ask the question. Over here, it says that if the child can't ask the question, the wife asks the question. So you have to reconcile between the braita and the Mishnah. It might be a girsa issue. There's some alternative girsa oath in the Mishnah, which would solve the problem. Or you have to suggest here that you're talking about two different types of children. You're talking about a child, when we say he can't ask, it's a child who can't ask, but he also can't be taught to ask because he's too young or he's incapable. Or the other way around, this child who couldn't ask is because he doesn't have the knowledge yet. If you teach him, he will have the knowledge. You might be talking about two different types of children. That's an easy way to solve this difference between the Braita and the Mishnah. But this requirement for question and answer is fundamental to the night of Pesach. Says, wait a minute. Any other time, isn't it enough that you don't have to dip once? Every other night, we don't even have to dip once. Tonight, we have an obligation to dip twice. Now, the question of what happened with Rova. Why does Rav all of a sudden feel like, what's going on here? There's no demand that you dip. We saw before in the Rashbam said on the previous Mishnah, Shekol Kilatam, all of their eating was done derech tibul, was done through tibul. Now this might have to do, you're talking about a difference between the Mishnaic times, and the time Rav was a later Amora, fourth, fifth generation Amora in Bavel, versus the Mishnayot in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they were following the Roman aristocracy the way that they ate. And tibul might have been an integral part of that type of eating. And so therefore, that was considered to be on a regular day a normal form of eating. And then on Pesach, we add on an additional dipping. By the time of Rova as an Amora, Rova says, who says that you have to dip? Who dips every day in their meal? Maybe it wasn't a obligation, who says that they dipped at all? I mean, that you're already dealing with numerous generations later in a different location. And maybe to Rava, he reads this and he says, I don't know what it means. So Rava alters it slightly and says, no, you could answer that Rava had the same practices. And he's just saying, who says you have to do it? His issue is not with the change in practice, but his issue is with the way that it's formulated. So why are you using a Lashon that says, every night we do one? Is that necessarily true? So then, Makvila Rav Safra, Chayuva the Dardike, says, I don't understand, Rava. Rav, you're saying, oh, we're obligated every other night. We're not obligated to do it at all. And tonight, we're obligated to do it twice. What do you mean that we're obligated to do it twice? Chayuva the Dardike? You have an obligation for children? That's his bitmia. Hamishum hekeira de tinok, kadeshia shalu. The point of the two dippings is not because you're obligated to dip twice. The point is that it's to create a heker for the tinokot, shilishol. That's a question we discussed also before. Once it's a heker, what does that mean? Does that mean when Chachamim established it as a heker, then it becomes a mitzvah to do it that way? And that was a question by Karpas. Do you need a kazayit? The Rambam says you need a kazayit by Karpas. Because if you think heker becomes a mitzvah, then maybe you need a kazayit. Whereas the Rosh says, there's no obligation to eat it. It's not a mitzvah to eat it, it's just for heker. Therefore you don't need a kazayit. So this type of question in the Gemara is, Ayuba the Dardike, is this really a mitzvah, or is this just a prop? Again, that idea, you're on a fine line between the Chachamim saying this is for heker, versus is that a mitzvah, l'shmo al divrei Chachamim. So, what do you mean that it's a chiyub over here? El amar of safra ochiktani. Ain anu matbilim afilu pamachat, which is the way that we have our manishtana, which is on other nights, we don't even dip once. Alayla zeh, shtei pe'amim. Tonight, we dip twice. First of all, that incorporates Rava's criticism. Rava's criticism says, who says you dip every night? And again, for what reason? Is it because things changed, or because there's just no obligation? But it also incorporates the other half, which is, we're dipping twice tonight. It's not an obligation to dip tonight. We're dipping twice. In order that a tinoko will ask the question, the interesting thing about the dipping is that what is the whole point of the dipping? Is kedei shishalu a tinokot. And when the tinokot asks, why are you dipping twice? What's the answer? Kedei shishalu a tinokot. So that the children will ask the question. So it's a trigger to enter into a conversation. There's no real answer to the question of why you dip twice. You dip twice to engage the children. It's a simple methodology for engaging them in the night. Before we continue, just that happens in a lot with the Seder for us tonight. I mentioned this when we started Arvei Pesachim with Haseba, that certain practices have changed for us, that everything now becomes heker. Because these aren't normal practices in our meals anymore. So certainly, like dipping twice is certainly a heker. Doing a seba is a heker. Because time has changed the nature of these items from being things that resemble or demonstrate chevut to things that all become for the heker of the night. So whether the Amoraim are already feeling that, or like we do today, or they're simply discussing the formulation. Matzil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. My gnut. So what is the gnut over here? Rav Amar, Rav says, Mitchila Ovdei Avodat Giluim Hayahu Vuteino. Our forefathers were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They worshipped idols. Ushmol Amar, Avadim Hayinu. Shmuel says the Gnut starts from, Avadim Hayinu starts from being enslaved in Mitzrayim. So what's interesting here is, how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Rav, or do we paskin like Shmuel? Rav says that we start Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Shmuel says we start from Avadim Hayinu. So if you look in the Agadah, beginning of the Agadah is Manishtana. Right, Halach Man is the introduction, they have Manishtana. Right after Manishtana, how do we answer? Avadim Hayinu the Paro b'Mitzrayim. So that sounds like we paskin like Shmuel. Then, after that, we have Maaseh, Rabbi Elazar, we have the four Chachamim. Then, we have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's statement of Hari Ani Keben Shivim Shana, Baruch HaMalkom, Keneged Arbaim Dibra Torah, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh, and then, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Ayu Avoteinu. So it turns out that we do both. We do like Shmuel, and we do like Rav. So that has to do with maybe the layout of the Haggadah. There are different opinions about the format of the Haggadah, what the Haggadah is trying to accomplish over here in terms of its layout. But it's clear that the Haggadah includes both Rav and Shmuel. The question, once it does that, you have to ask is why? Why does it include both Rav and Shmuel? Why is it trying to include Rav and Shmuel? Baal Haggadah thought it was important to have both of them. And here, even though Rav and Shmuel are arguing, we end up doing both. So what do we accomplish by incorporating both of them into the light of the Seder, the Haggadah? Right, that's a bigger shear than we have time for now, but it's something to consider, at least on the night of Pesach, why we do such a thing. Amalei Rav Nachman and Daru Abde. Nachman says to Daru, his servant, Avdo Damapik Le Marei Lecherut. A servant who, his master, frees him, V'yayble Kaspa Davon, gives him silver and gold, Mabay Lemei Malei. What should that servant say to his master if he does such a good thing for him? Amalei, Bailo Dude, Ulishvuchai. Says you have to give thanks and praise to his master for it. So Amalei, Patartan Milomar Manishtana. He got us out of saying Manishtana. Patach Lamar Avadim Hayinu. Then he already started with Avadim Hayinu. Now this is parallel with the Gemara we had end of yesterday, which is with Abaye, who is a Talmud of Rabbah. He also grew up in Rabbah's house. And then Abaye asked, when they took away the Shulchan from in front of Rabbah, then Abaye says, what are you doing? Why are you taking away the meal? We didn't start yet. And there Rabbah says, Patartan Milomar Manishtana. We don't have to say Manishtana anymore. The Rashbam over there says, okay, that's it, you're done. The whole point of Manishtana is to engage the children in the differences of the night. If the child already notices by themselves, then you don't need to do Manishtana anymore. And what seems to be similar over here, even though it's a little different, over here it seems to be that this is the issue of Avadim Hayinu, and we have to give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at least the point is that you started in a process of engaging. Meaning, why are we doing this tonight? Why are we saying these things tonight? Because, look, what if our slave was free, da-da-da-da, so therefore we're done with manishtana. Tosafot yesterday said, that's not the answer. You still have to say manishtana. When you say that, partartana manishtana, that's not literally. We're not patur for saying manishtana. It's just that this is the lead-in to manishtana. Oh, if you're already asking these questions, let's think about all the other questions of the night. So for the Rishbam, saying the manishtana is not integral to the night. We just want to engage the child. Once you've engaged the child, that's fine. Whereas for Tosafot, the questions in the manishtana are as important as the fact that they're engaged. Because the questions highlight the differences. And those differences are important because they are central to each of the differences of the night because of different things. Why do we only have Tzli? Why do we have a Korban HaPesach? Maror, why do we have Maror? Each one of these is part of the props that we use during the Haggadah, and it's important that the child notice those issues so that we can discuss each one of those issues. So the Tosafot says that when you say Patar Me Manishtana, you still have to say Manishtana. Just means that you've got the child engaged now. You've done with that piece. Now you have to say the Manishtana. Although from this Gemara over here, it sounds much more like the Rashbam, which is that you're going right into Avadim Hayinu, and that he didn't say Manishtana at all. But you can see that, I think the Marav Runchenberg here, he has a note here. He says, go back and look on the Tosafot on the previous daf. Because that Tosafot is difficult now, given that he started here with Avadim Hayinu, meaning that he can't interpret it the way he does in the previous Amud, which is that he went back and continued the Manishtana, because over here it says he went straight into Avadim Hayinu, which would be more supportive of the position of the Rashbam. Okay, next Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel Ayahomer. Rabbi Gamliel says, Ko Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Ilu B'Pesach Lo Yatza Yidei Chovato. Anybody who didn't say these three things on the night of Pesach is not Yotze his chuvah ve'eluhin. What are these items? Pesach, matzah, umaror. These three items, Pesach, matzah, umaror, we're going to explain each one of them. Now, what does it mean that whoever didn't say these three things is not yotze yidei? What? Lo yatza yidei chuvato shel. The Rambam codifies it this way. The Rambam says, v'dvarim elu kulan hein hanikra in hagada. So the Rambam, in the Yad Chazakah, when he codifies it, says that it's a din in Sipur, yitziyat Mitzrayim. You're not yotze the din of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. This is ma'akev Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. If you don't say Pesach Matzah Amor and give explanation for the props of the night, that might have to do with the meaning of the word Haggadah. The word Haggadah is hard to translate. It's not a simple word to translate. The word Haggadah appears in the Torah and Tanakh numerous times and means different things throughout Tanakh. The most likely, and what I think is the meaning of the word Haggadah over here, it's used here, Vigata Levincha, Vayom Ahudei Mor. It's used in Mikra Bikurim, which is Vanita Vamarta. We say there, Anita Vamarta, you say, Higati Ayom Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So wait, I thought you already said Anita Vamarta, I'm gonna say, and then Vigati Ayom. Why are you saying Haggadah? Why are you saying it again? So the Shlishi HaMechri is found by David HaMelech. In Shmuel Bet, in the Merit of Shalom, after Yoav kills Avshalom, and then all the people come back from the battle, the people that were loyal to David come back to the city, and in coming back to the city, those that were loyal to David have to sneak into the city. Because David HaMelech is crying, and he's sitting up in his attic, he's crying, and Yoav comes to him and says, how could you do this? You're making people who love you like your enemies, and your enemies beloved. And he says, had we all been dead and Avshalom alive, you would have been happy. How does he begin that phrase? He says, Higadata Hayom, you said today to the people this. David never said anything to the people. How did the people know that David was upset and he made them feel like they were the enemy? Because of David's actions. The way David acted taught them that they had to sneak into the city. So what does Haggadah mean in that context? Haggadah means that you tell through your actions. It's speaking not through words, but through actions. So now I go back, Mikra Bikurim. Higati ayom l'shem elokecha. What does it mean, higati ayom? Amarta, you're saying the pasukim here, but that's not what it's telling you. Higati ayom is, how do you demonstrate it? You brought the bikurim up to Yerushalayim. That demonstrates that you understand that God is the one who brought you into this land. What's the din of Pesach night? Vigata lebincha bayom ulei mor. What does that mean, vigata lebincha? Through your actions of the night, you have to demonstrate the message that you're giving over. That Haggadah is not speaking, but it's speaking through demonstration, demonstrative speaking. The Rambam, now, the way he codifies it in the Yadach HaZakah, is that Haggadah is me'akev. I mean, that same Pesach, Matzah, Mor, explaining what they are, holding them up, that's part of the Haggadah. That's the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because that is the demonstrative part of the night, eating the Matzah, eating the Mor, giving the reason behind them. And that's why it says it has to do with Sefer Mitzrayim. The Ramban in Milchamot Hashem says that Piyotze ba'koshu amar gimel d'vareim elu v'pesach v'yitzayi dey v'choto v'lo shei tzirich v'akzor v'lechol pesach matzah maror. You don't have to go back and eat pesach matzah maror. The Loch of Rabbi Gamliel is a din in the mitzvot. He says, that's a din in Pesach. It's a din in matzah, a din in maror. It's not ma'akev them, but it's a din in the matzah, Pesach, matzah, maror. Obviously, if you put the two of them together, you could come up with a scenario where you think that it's ma'akev the mitzvah. In order to eat matzah, you need to say Rabbi Gamliel. In order to eat the maror, you need Rabbi Gamliel. You could read the Gemara there. Lo yatzai yidei chobato means he's not yotze the chova of those mitzvot. And that might be part of lechem shonim alav darveim harbe. There may be an obligation not just to eat matzah, but to explain the matzah. Without the explanation of the matzah is not matzah. Just to eat matzah is not enough. Just to eat maror is not enough. You have to have the explanation around them. So you have that difference already found between the Rambam and the Ramban. I say if you put them together, you could say that it's even ma'akev. That yo yatzai yidei chobato is even ma'akev, the mitzvot of the night. So now we move on. Pesach. Al shom shepasach amakom abatei avoteinu b'mitzrayim. Why do we eat the Pesach? Because Hashem passed over the houses of our forefathers in Mitzrayim. Shneamar. So quote the pasuk. V'amartem zevach pesachu l'Hashem asher pasach. What's interesting here is, why do we use this pasuk? V'amartem zevach pesach. So you would have thought it's because Hu l'Hashem asher pasach. It explains why Hashem passed over our houses. But if you look, interesting enough, the Tosafot here quotes it back on the previous Amud. He says, "V'amartem zevach pesach perish bi'amira tzirich lomar." This is the source of the fact that you have to say these things over the korban. I mean that he's not only saying "V'amartem zevach pesach" is the explanation of the pesach. He's also saying that's the obligation, that's the source for Rabbi Gamliel's din, which is perish v'amira tzrich lomar pesach zeh she'anu achlim v'itkish matzah mora lepesach. And since matzah mora connected to pesach, therefore tzrich lomar nami matzah zu. And therefore you also have to say matzah zu and maror zu. So that's very interesting. He says not only is this the explanation of pesach, it's also the source for Rabbi Gamliel's din of v'amartem zevach pesachu l'Hashem asher pasach. Matzah. What do we say over the matzah? Hashum shenigalu avuteinu mimitzrayim. That our forefathers were redeemed from Mitzrayim. Shnemar. Vayofu et basek asher utziu mimitzrayim. That they baked the basek, the dough that they took out of Mitzrayim. Maror. Why do we have maror over here? Hashum shemeru amitzrayim et chayu avuteinu bimitzrayim. Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our forefathers in Mitzrayim. Shnemar. Vayimaru et chayehem. That they made our lives bitter in Mitzrayim. So the order that we have here, which is in the Mishnah, is Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, which is that the way that we have it in our Haggadah, is that we have Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. That's the order. Now, what's interesting is the Rambam in the Yad Chazakah has a different order than his Nusach of Haggadah. The Rambam has Haggadah there. And the Nusach of Haggadah, he follows this, which is Matzah and then Maror, like the Mishnah. Yet in the Yad Chazakah he says, Umagbiya maror biyado. He lifts up the maror. And then afterwards, magbiya matzah biyado. Afterwards, he lifts up the matzah. Why does he change the order in Mishnah Torah? So the Mekeveret Mishnah says the difference has to do with Bizman Azeh versus Zman HaMikdash. Bizman HaMikdash, the maror was a chiyuv doraita just like the matzah. Therefore, it makes more sense to do the maror before the matzah. If matzah represents chayrut and maror represents shibud, talk about the shibud first, and then you talk about the matzah. But now, b'zman hazeh, you reverse it because matzah is d'oraita and maror is d'rabbanan. So therefore, in the Haggadah, when he brings down the Haggadah, he says, first we do matzah, and then we do maror. Pesach first, I think, because the obligation. V'amartem zevach pesach. That is what gives you the obligation to speak about. It's not only that you're explaining Pesach, but based on Tosafot, that's the reason for Rabbi Gamliel's din. V'amartem. That's giving you the reason why you have to speak here. So Pesach goes first because it has two things embedded in it. It has the obligation to do this, plus it explains Pesach. So Pesach goes first for that reason. Now, in addition to that, the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah brings a different pasuk. Matzah ashum shenigalu, avoteinu mitzrayim shenemar, vayofu et batzek. That's what we have in our Mishnah. The Rambam has matzah zu she'en anochlim Hashem shelo yispik batzekem shel avoteinu, lachmitz. So Rambam brings a different pasuk in the Yad HaChazakah then is quoted here in the Mishnah. Plenty of brisker Torah, the Netziv himself speaks about it. Netziv divides between whether it's Bizman Beit HaMikdash versus today. Bizman Beit HaMikdash, then the Matzah served in a different role than it does today, and therefore the difference in the Psukim. But just note that the Rambam has a different Pasuk that is quoted over here. Right now, the Mishnah continues, B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo ki hulu yatzah mimitzrayim. In every generation, a person has to see himself as if he left Mitzrayim. Shnemar. Because you're going to say to your child, saying, "Bavur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mi-Mitzrayim." This is what Hashem did for me when I left Mitzrayim. So, who is this? This instruction is to future generations. And the answer that's given is, "Bavur zeh asa Hashem li." Li, it means that in the first person, I left Mitzrayim. So since in the first person I left Mitzrayim, you have to look at yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. Lafikach, that's the next piece, which is, when a nace happens to an individual, there's an obligation to say halal over the nace. That's if you're a participant of the nace. Even if it happens to your forefathers, you only have to do it for a son and a grandson, only for two generations. The Gemara in Brachot tells you that within a family, if a nace happened in the first, second generation, they say halal. After that, you don't say halal. How can we say halal on the night of Pesach? We didn't leave Mitzrayim. That's the answer. The answer is, I just left Mitzrayim. You have to look at yourself as if Mitzrayim. Therefore, right, all the lishonot here that demand that we give praise and thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tosfot over here says that he thinks that maybe there should be seven praises. We do nine over here, but maybe there should be seven, unless you don't count Lahodot and Lalel. They are the demand, and then you have the seven praises afterwards. Misha asala v'tenu v'lanu et kol nisim ha'ilu, who did for our forefathers and to us these miracles. Hotzienu mi'avdut l'cherut, mi'agon l'simcha, mi'ivel l'yom tov, mi'afeilah l'or gadol, mi'shibud l'gula. So here's all these items that are mentioned here, which is very interesting. Because by Purim, these are the lishonot that are used in the Megillah. By Purim, the Nafochu is Mi'agon l'simcha, Me'evil l'yom tov. The same lishonot, the Bala Gada picked up these same lishonot that were used by Purim, which is very interesting. V'nomer l'fanav, Haluluka. And we say before him, Haluluka. But it's interesting, we'll get into it tomorrow. Haluluka, the Rashbam brings that it's a single word. It's not a word. We always think of Haluluka. Praise Hashem. I mean, it's the Shem Hashem at the end. He just says it's a fancy way. It's a poetic way of saying hallelujah. That the Yudkeh at the end, he shows other words like that. And we're going to see that in tomorrow's daf. That hallelujah is just a fancy way of saying we got to praise Hashem. So now, what does that mean? He begins hallel at that point. Ad heichan hu omer. Where do you finish after hallel? Bet Shemay omrim. Ad im abanim smecha. Meaning after the first paragraph, the first of the Tehillim. Bet Hillel omer. Ad chalamish l'man yomayim. After the second paragraph in the Tehillim. What's known as Hallel HaMitzri. That's the Hallel that deals with leaving Mitzrayim. So that's the Hallel that we do, and we follow Beit Hillel's practice. We do the first two paragraphs. V'chotem be'geula. And then you finish off with the Bracha of Geula. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, what is the Bracha of Geula? Asher ga'alnu v'galet avutenu mi'mitzrayim. V'loya chotem. But he doesn't have any chatima. I mean, it was a Bracha that was puteach b'baruch, but not misayim b'baruch. Because according to Rabbi Tarfon, there's only one theme here. The theme is thanking Hashem for the Geula. So if you thank Hashem for the Geula, there's only one theme. We saw earlier in the Perek that when you only have one theme, it has a din of Birkata Mitzvot, Birkata Peirot, which is that you open with the Baruch, you don't conclude with the Baruch, and that's Rabbi Tarfon's position, because he has thematically only has one thing in here. Rabbi Kiva, Omer, Rabbi Kiva argues on him and says, you have to add in an additional item. Kain, Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu, Yigeinu l'moladim l'regalim ha'achirim ha'baim l'kateinu l'shalom tzmeichim b'vinyan yirech v'sasim b'avodotecha, Nelcha sham min hazvachim u'min ha'psachim, Ad baruch atah Hashem ga'al Yisrael. So we give as an additional item here, which is, just like Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim, so too Hashem should redeem us from the present galut, and he should bring us to more holidays and other regalim, that we should be there, b'shalom, b'simcha, and then we should be able to eat from the karbanot. Zvachim and psachim, zvachim go first because that's the chagiga, and then psachim because we eat the chagiga, and then we eat the pesach, halasova, after the chagiga. So that's min zvachim, umin psachim. We reverse that. Whenever Pesach falls out on Motzei Shabbat. On Motzei Shabbat, there's no Chagiga, because Erev Pesach was on Shabbat, which a Chagiga is not Doche Shabbat. So we reverse these words in the Bracha when it turns out to be on Motzei Shabbat. And then Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. The Tosafot spoke about this, about the two Minei Basar on the Seder plate. He says, when Pesach falls out on Motzei Shabbat, why don't we only have one Minei Basar on the Seder plate instead of two? He says, well, Plug, it's not worth it. He says, if you make it that year 1 year, by the next year, everybody will be doing one basar. He says, not worth it. He said, don't get angry at someone who does one basar, because he's right. But he says, don't make that the practice, because by the next year, everybody will be doing one basar, and they'll forget about it. So he says, because of low plug, we don't do it. And I say the same thing here. Low plug, if you, once you take something out, it doesn't come back in. So they didn't want to take it out in those instances. We have, as Tosafot points out, our gears are slightly different, which is, in the beginning here, we say, before the Hallel, we say, V'nomar lefanav shira chadasha, halleluka. That's how we start out the Hallel. And at the end of the bracha, we say, V'noda lecha shir chadash al giluteinu u'pdut nafshenu. She had a new shir on our future ge'ula. And Tosafot notes over here, the difference between beforehand we say shira chadasha in the female form, and at the end of the bracha we say shir chadash in the male form. Shir, it turns out, it's conjugated in both forms, in Tanakh. But he says, how come over here we say shira in one place and shir? But he says, there's a difference between a female who gives birth has tsar leida. Tsar leida and the tsar of pregnancy, he says that all of the other geulot, until the geula latid lavo, always has pain afterwards, always has issues because of, it's not the final geula. But the final geula will be a shir chadash, a shir that has no pain involved with it because there will be no galut afterwards. It'll be the final redemption. And therefore, it said shir in the male form. And that's also in the Mizmor and Tehillim that says, shir chadash. There's going to be a shir chadash. Midrash talks about 10 shirot in the history of Bnei Yisrael. It goes through the shirot. And the final shirah is the shir chadash, which is the shir in the male form. That has to do with the gula, latid lavo. So he says, that's why we change from shirah to shir in the bracha.
Now, as far as the Pesach halacha over here, what's interesting is that we know that the principles of Pesach are that halacha Kirabi Kiva mechaveiro, when it's a one-on-one machloket, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, avalo mechaveirav. But if there's a plurality that argues in Rabbi Akiva, the halacha is not like him. So both the Rashbam and Tosafot point out over here that there's a machloket here between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva says that there is a chatima to the bracha, and you do add in an additional theme into the bracha, and that's why you both are poteach bebaruch, and you end with baruch. On the other hand, Rabbi Tarfon says there's only a single theme over here, and therefore you only poteach bebaruch. Well, in that context, it would be Rabbi Akiva versus Rabbi Tarfon. The halacha should be like Rabbi Akiva. But what about the Tanna Kamma? The Tanna Kamma also says that you're chotem begula. If that's the case, if you're mitzarif the Tanna Kamma with Rabbi Tarfon, then you actually have a plurality that's arguing on Rabbi Akiva. So what the Rashbam points out is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon are really arguing within the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma says we're chotem begula. And then he leaves that to be explained by the machloket Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. So the Bala Mishnah is saying that there is a chatimat gula, and then he defines it by Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon, not to say that there are actually three opinions here, there are only two opinions. And therefore, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva over here, because it's Rabbi Kiva versus Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva mechaveiro. And that's our practice, to both be poteach bebaruch and conclude with baruch in the bracha of Gal Yisrael, as well as to add in the additional wording that Rabbi Akiva says about asking for the geula latid lavo.
Rava adds over here, Amar Rava, tzarich shiomar votano hotzi misham. He says that we have to say that Hashem took us out of there, took us out of Mitzrayim. So that is part of what we say. When he says, b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu yetzah Mitzrayim, Shinamar. We add in what Rava says. What does it say? Vigat to the bincha b'yom ayu lemor, b'vor zeh asa Hashem li b'tzei ti Mitzrayim. Lo et avotenu b'vat gala kosh brocho, af atanu gali mehem. Shinamar. V'otanu hotzi misham la v'mano v'yotanu de'elanu et aretz asher nishba la avotenu. That's the quote that Rava. So we add in this quote of Rava. Now why do we add in this quote of Rava? That's what I said to you before. That Rami Oved Avi is the quintessential psukim to use for the Gada and the night of Pesach. Why is that? We just said before that a person has to look at himself, ki iluhu yatsa mi Mitzrayim, as if he left Mitzrayim. Now, when we say that as if he left Mitzrayim, we said, oh, because it says, we got to the bincha b'yom ha'olaymor. Now, we got to the bincha is written in Sefer Shmot. And it's really written to the generation who left Mitzrayim. You'll say to your children, bravur zeh Hashem li b'Mitzrayim. That's a person who left Mitzrayim can say, bravur zeh Hashem li. We said, okay, it applies to future generations, it's a command. But, mikra bikurim is found at the end of Sefer Dvarim. Found at the end of Sefer Dvarim, the whole generation left Mitzrayim is gone. The people who are there in Sefer Dvarim are already the second generation. Their generation didn't leave Mitzrayim. Maybe there's some that are left over, but most of them did not leave Mitzrayim. Yet, Parsha of Arami Oved Avi is written, as Rava says over here, V'otanu hotzi misham. God took us out of Mitzrayim. It's written in the first person that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. So Arami Oved Avi is clearly a Parsha that's spoken to people who did not leave Mitzrayim. And yet, it's written in the first person as if I left Mitzrayim. And that's why it's the central piece of the Agoda. Why we have the exegesis on the parsha of Arami Oved Avi is because Arami Oved is that example of someone who didn't leave Mitzrayim saying that I left Mitzrayim. And so because of that, it's the reason to use it or utilize it as the central part of the Haggadah. And that's exactly what Rav is saying over here. our obligation here to say hello is because we left there. And that's what Parsha Pikurim tells you, that we left. Not our forefathers, we left there. Amar Rava, matzah tzrich lagbia. That when you say, you lift up the matzah. That's the idea of Haggadah, we spoke about before. Haggadah is a demonstrative. Not only do you have to say it, you have to lift the matzah up, you have to eat the matzah, it's all part of this. Maror tzarech lagbia. The more you have to live up. Basar intzarech lagbia. The basar that represents the korbanot, you don't lift up. Lo'od elishanira kochel kodashim b'chus. Not only don't you, you shouldn't pick it up, because it looks like you're eating kodashim outside. Rashi, earlier on in the Masechta, when we had this, says, it looks like Ochel Kodashim B'chutz, because it looks like you're makdish it. Tosfot over there took issue with Rashi and says, what do you mean? You can't be makdish meat. It's already dead. The animal's here. What do you mean makdish it? So the Rashbam brings the perush of Tosfot back there, which is, it looks like you were makdish it Michayim, and this is meat that's Kodesh. So don't lift it up, because it's as if you're saying, I was makdish this, and this is a Korban. So that's our practice. Our practice is to lift it up for the Matzah tomorrow, or not for the Pesach. Amar Vachar Bar Yaakov, Summa patur milamar haggadah. A blind person does not have to say haggadah, he's patur haggadah. Ktiv hachab avur zeh asar Hashem liv, it's eti mitzrayim. Uktiv hotam, and it says by Ben Sorer Omer, b'neinu zeh. Whenever the Torah uses the word zeh, Chazal interprets zeh to mean that I can point to it, I can look at it. Chazal, the Midrash on the Kriyat Yam Suf says zeh keli van veyu. What does the Midrash say right away over there? Everybody could point. Even Shifcha Shalayam could point to the Shechina. Everybody could point to the Shechina. So whenever we have this word zeh, the Chazal always interpret it as being identifying or being able to point to it. So when they say b'neinu zeh, I mean that's the parents identifying the child. So now, b'vur zeh, Chazal is saying, well, you have to identify the objects. Zivata b'neinu zeh. Malal and prat l'suma, just like over there, exclude someone who's blind because they cannot identify. Avkan prat l'sumin, it should be the same thing over here. Ini, is that really true? V'amar mereimar, shaltinu l'rabbanan debay Rav Yosef. I asked the Talmidim in Rav Yosef's Beit Midrash or in his house, mandamar gadat debay Rav Yosef. Who said the Haggadah? Who led the Haggadah in Rav Yosef's house? We know that Rav Yosef was Sagi Nahor. He was blind. Yosef and Rav Sheshet. Amoraim that are blind. So really said, they asked, who did it in Rav Yosef's house? Amru Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef led the Haggadah. How could he be motzi everybody else? If he's blind and he's patur, he couldn't be motzi the other people. Mandamar Haggadah to Rav Sheshet. Who said, who led the Haggadah in Rav Sheshet's house? Again, Rav Sheshet's a Summa. Amru Rav Sheshet. So in both cases, you have Rav Sheshet and Rav Yosef leading it. Kasabre Rabbonon. Matzah Bizman Azeh Rabbonon. They think that Matzah Bizman Azeh is Rabbonon. Now, by the way, this is a Mapecha Gdolah. So what that Matzah Bizman Azeh is Rabbonon? How does that solve your problem? You have a mitzvah doraita of Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim. So what are you telling me about Matzah Bizman Azeh Rabbonon? Okay, matzahs they're up on him, but what about Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, which is a din d'oraita? How can he be motzi you? So that tells you this is a strong support for what we spoke about before of the integral connection between the Sipur and the mitzvot of the night. That the Haggadah is connected to the mitzvot of the night. And maybe the Haggadah is only as good as the mitzvot of the night, the demonstrative mitzvot. If matzahs d'oraita, then Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim is d'oraita, because Sipur Mitzrayim is all about talking about the props of the night, talking about the matzah. And lochem shonim alav dvar marbei. If the matzah is derabonon, then Sipur Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim also becomes derabonon. That's what seems to be suggested by the Gemara over here. Oh, so that's a problem. What is bavur zeh? In the pasuk, the word zeh is ambiguous. All the Rishonim argue about what does it mean, bavur zeh. What is bavur zeh? You have to know, what's the antecedent of zeh? The Gemara is going to say for sure it means matzah and maror. That's what the Gemara says. But that's not clear. If you look at the pasuk, it's not clear what bavur zeh means. Bavur zeh is referencing what? The psukim before? The remainder of the pasuk? It's very unclear. If you look at the Rishonim over there, they all argue about what the bavur zeh is, because it's just not clear in the pasuk. Here the Gemara is taking a position that it means matzah and maror. Michal, to Rav Acha bar Yaakov Savar, matzah bezman hazeh de'oraita. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, who said before that Suma is patur, he must believe that matzah is de'oraita. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he's the Bala Memra, when we get there, in Daf Kuf Chof, who says that matzah bezman hazeh is de'rabonon, he's the Bala Memra. So who d'amar, matzah bezman hazeh de'rabonon, so that doesn't work. Now, Kasavar, kol t'tikun rabonon, k'ain t'oraita t'tikun. No, he doesn't mean that it's Doraita. He means that in Doraita, the Summa would be Patur. Therefore, when the Rabbanan instituted it, they did it like the Doraita, and they made the Summa Patur. So now the Rav Sheish, the Rav Yosef, Nami. Havad, they called the Tikkun, Rabbanan came to write the Tikkun. What are Rav Sheish and Rav Yosef going to do? If the Rabbanan patterned their mitzvah after the Doraita, that means Summa's Patur. How are they leading the Seder in their places? Hachiashto. They said it's not comparable. Vishlam, Ahotam, Bai, B'neinu Zeh, Mehavalei, Mechta, B'neinu Hu. This is our child. Instead it says b'neinu zeh, shmamina prat l'sumin hu da'ata. Because zeh is not necessary. You could say b'neinu hu. This is our child. Zeh already indicates they can see him, they can point to him, they can identify him. So that's why it's prat l'suma. V'acha ila bavur zeh, my lichtov. What would you have written instead of bavur zeh? You can't say bavur hu. Bavur zeh, my lichtov, ela, bavur matza maror hu da'ata. Bavur zeh is not interpreted as pointing, but bavur zeh goes back on the matzah and maror. So it's clear here that Rav Yosef and Rav Sheish interpret bavur zeh to mean bavur matzah umaror. Again, which is not clear in the puzzle, but because they interpret it that way, they don't have a problem with a summa being patur, even midoraita. Because they say it means bavur matzah maror, and now bavur zeh means you don't have to identify, you don't have to be able to identify the items. Bavur means that's bavur matzah maror, therefore, which is a very difficult answer. Because then you have to explain. It says bavur zeh, asali Hashem, because of matzah maror, therefore, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. But the matzah maror, the reason they took me out of Mitzrayim, so that's what the Rishonim argue about. What's the cause and what's the effect? Hashem took out of Mitzrayim, therefore I have matzah maror. Or is it the matzah maror? Because I was going to keep the mitzvot in the atid, therefore Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. That's one of some of the Rishonim interpret it. There are others, the bavur zeh, meaning that the matzah maror tell about the story of Mitzrayim, and they symbolize the story. So the Rishonim take all of these different approaches. Again, it's very ambiguous. It's a very difficult pasuk. But here the Gemara says that it refers to matzah umaror, and we actually do both of these, which is we actually lift up the item, we point to the item, when we speak about it. But we also say, before Zez, Matzah Maror, we give explanation to those items of Matzah Umaror. Okay, we'll stop over here.